The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, along with Dr. Alex McFarland on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and folks, we're going to have a pre-record in tomorrow because they're going to let us go home early, and, you know, we're going to do that. So, But we're going to have a pre-record for you tomorrow afternoon. It'll be compelling, I promise. And so what we're going to do today is take your phone calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. All those eights were running together like snowmen. And so the page was far from my eyes and my memory lapsed. But Alex, it's good to be with you this afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity to be here again. And as folks begin to call in, what are you thankful for this year, brother?
You know, a lot of things. I was just thinking about that. For one, I'm thankful that we have Jim Stanley to minister with. And I know that you kind of had some medical issues earlier this year, and we were fervently praying for you, Bert and I and Brent and all the listeners. Appreciate you so much. But, you know, I got to tell you something that just really made my heart melt with joy. About a week ago, I got in the mail the AFA newsletter, and it was from Tim Wildman, and there was some facts about what the ministry's doing, and there was my name was in there, and I had made a comment on one of the shows about the spiritual growth among young people, you know, especially in the aftermath of the death of Charlie Kirk. There seems to be kind of an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit among young people, but in the AFA newsletter, and Jim, I completely give God the glory, but Tim Wildman referred to me as AFA's defender of the faith. Mm. And I literally bowed my head and prayed, and I said, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for allowing me to be on the journey of ministry and education and service and apologetics. And then now to be referenced by Tim Wildman in an AFA newsletter. You know, I'm just a guy that loves Jesus, and I'm trying to evangelize the lost and equip the saved. But Jim, I am thankful that God would allow me to minister in the context of AFA and AFR.
Amen. And you know, it's such a unique platform that we have here, and we have to be careful that we don't take that for granted. And so, you know, I've been here over 25 years now. And
really?
Yes, sir. And I'm telling you, it is an incredible place to work at. There's incredible love for the individuals that are here. And one of the things I'm thankful for is that I do work here. Because, Alex, during the time in February and March and April, when my illness just seemed to linger on, and still not completely back to 100%, AFA never wavered. They never said, don't you think you need to go ahead and just leave and take care of yourself and this, that, and the other? No, they didn't. They stood firm, and I am so grateful for that. The compassion that they showed me and my family was incredible. And having been here that long, I've seen them do that for other families too. But it sure is humbling when you're the family that it's being done for, because as you mentioned, I did have some health struggles in February of this year, the end of February, first part of March. I almost died in Dallas, Texas. And so my wife and children have taken Dallas off of our destinations for the forecoming future. And so, but yes, sir. And I'm glad for folks like you that prayed for me and folks in our audience that prayed for me as well, because I firmly believe that it was the prayer that kept me alive, that kept me from punching out, if you will, because it was that close. It was the choice of whether or not to be put on a breathing machine and apparatus, and also discussing what to do should my heart stop. And so I am what is it? Not NPR. That's the radio station.
DNR.
DNR. There we go.
But, Donnie, but let's not even talk about that.
Yeah, Donnie's not, looking at me like I have lost my mind. But no, you're right, and we're not. But it was just that's where it was and where I am now. I know this doesn't seem like a lot to most people, but brother, I am to the point now I can put my own socks and shoes on.
Praise God.
And
praise
that God. Is a blessing.
Well, amen. Well, I just want to be on record, and I know I speak for Bert Harper as well. We thank God that you're part of this team and God has extended your life because, you know, I want to say this, and let me give this number because we're taking prayer requests on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and I would submit that we all have so much for which to be grateful. And, you know, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. I mean, if you want the presence of the Lord and really the joy of the Lord, the power of the Lord, then be intentional and very regular about praising God. We have so much to be thankful for. And so if you want to join in the prayer time and just share what's on your heart this, you know, Thanksgiving Eve, you know. But it's 888-589-8840. Now, Jim, let me just say this. There's a story I've told many times, and I love to kind of relate this, but Martin Luther had a colleague named Friedrich Myconius, and they preached and they evangelized throughout Europe. Well, Myconius took ill, and he wrote a letter to Martin Luther, and he said, you know, dear brother, by the time you receive this, I'll be in heaven. I'm sick unto death. I can't recover. So please know that I love you, and I'll see you in heaven one day. Well, the letter reached Martin Luther, and Luther quickly fired back. First of all, he got on his knees and prayed. And he wrote a letter. It's really almost humorous, but he says, Myconius, I do not give you permission to die. In the name of Jesus, I command you to live, for I still have need of thee in reviving the church. And he said, God will do this because it is his will that we evangelize. And so, you will not die. I will never see you pass. In the name of Jesus, live. And Myconius did live, and he lived like six more years. And he actually outlived Martin Luther by 6 months. Here's my question, though. It's been said that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God. I mean, how much of life is almost a jump ball where it's in our court? And if we were to get on our knees and intercede and pray and just pray out our heart, call out to Jesus. I mean, Jim, the saving of lost souls, the health of believers that have fallen ill, the revival of churches that are kind of dormant, is it really in our hands? If we pray and cry out to God, will heaven come down and things will change? I really think more could be accomplished by prayer than we could possibly envision.
I absolutely concur with that, my brother, because now at the same time, we want to be clear that God is not a vending machine. You can't decide that you want to pray and pop a button and expect it to be right there. I think one of the most telling ways that we pray is that when we ask Jesus to be glorified, and what it is that we're asking. And if it doesn't bring him glory, if it doesn't add to his kingdom, then I think we have to be careful with those prayers. But I do think that he loves us. He loves us more than a heavenly Father does. You know, we look in the scripture, and when it talks about the different things that are taken away and the different things that are given, what more would that Father have done? What more would that parent have done? You know, we have a lot of single households in our country, single parent families, and they're both male and female. And so we need to be in prayer for them over this holiday period and into the coming Christmas holidays as well, because it's going to be a struggle for them. And so we want to pray for them as well. But yes, sir, prayer changes things. And you've heard the old adage, you have not because you ask not. Well, you also have not because you ask amiss or awry, if you will. Well, Let's go to the phone, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's head to Nebraska, and I almost said Alaska. I don't know why that's on my mind. But, Mike, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in Alaska right now, but yeah. So, it's kind of a prayer request, but a while ago I heard Alex mention antinomianism, and my son and daughter-in-law had gotten involved with this grace-only group, and on the onset it seemed like it was good. But then, I started to see that there was a lot of issues that they had with not dealing with people in their congregation that were involved in sexual immorality and a couple things. And well, anyhow, my son and daughter-in-law, they used to live here on our property, and then they decided that they wanted to get a house in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so they went out there and with this group, and I kind of reminds me of the old hippies, you know, and commune kind of thing. But then they got into an issue, and my son with this gal, and they started talking, but she was like coming on to him, and now my daughter-in-law wants a divorce from him, but their congregation doesn't want to deal with the gal. They're actually still letting her lead worship and not really addressing the whole issue about, hey, you know, you need to work through the issues that you had and not get a divorce, you know, but try to work through it. So anyhow, my prayer request part of that is for my son and daughter-in-law. But I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more about the antinomianism.
Yeah, well, you know, we're really living in a time of that. I mean, this is one of those kind of big 85 cent words. Let me speak to this for a moment. Antinomianism is really a combination of two words, anti, which means against, nomos, N-O-M-O-S, means law. So an antinomian is one that rejects laws or moral boundaries. Now, you say, well, that would never happen in Christianity, but in Romans chapter 6, 15 and following, Paul really condemns anyone that would use the grace of God as an excuse to sin and break God's law. Mm. And Paul, and let me encourage you to read Romans chapter 6, but Paul basically says that an antinomian really doesn't understand the gospel. Let me tell you where this applies in our world. You know, clearly the Bible, especially like in the Old Testament and New Testament, but the Bible has a whole lot to say about sexual morality. There are things that are sexually immoral, and then there are God's laws and God's standards. And so we've got a lot of people in our day that really want to argue for license, not righteousness. That's antinomian, and that's not right.
Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word, a special edition. We're taking your prayer request and what you've been thankful for this year at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, This is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every hour, every moment, I will sing. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Jim Stanley. And we're taking your praises, prayer requests, of course, Bible questions too. You know, we've been in Isaiah chapter 9, and oh my goodness, what a great scripture that is, and very much related to the coming of Jesus Christ. But the number, if you've got a prayer request, because we need to pray together, and maybe you've got a praise, you want to share what you're thankful for. And I love testimony services. I love to talk about how good the Lord is to us. But that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Jim, may I share a prayer request?
Yes, sir.
Angie and I have a neighbor, and she's quite elderly. Her name is Ruth. And we've been trying to share the gospel with her. And she's probably in her 80s and still runs a business. And but she was just in a car wreck, a head-on collision. She survived. Don't know if she'll come back. We were talking to her son, and to my knowledge, there nobody in the family is believers, but we're sharing the gospel. But she may never get out of this hospital, this rehabilitation hospital. This head-on collision would be bad for anybody, but someone probably in their mid to late 80s, it's especially devastating. But folks, if you think of Ruth, the son was lamenting that they don't think she'll ever walk again. She will come home in a wheelchair, and her house is not wheelchair accommodating. But the main thing, obviously, is that, you know, the next time we see her, we will want to try to share the gospel some more. But this elderly lady named Ruth that was in a head-on collision, I don't know whose fault it was. I really don't know any details at all. But folks, for body and soul, please pray for Ruth.
Amen. You know, AFR is a large family, and I talked about how much the staff prayed for me and cared for me during my time of trouble earlier this year. We're not going to give any names out, but we have an employee whose son-in-law took their life yesterday, and we want to be praying for them and for the ones that are left behind, if you will, there. And so there is a daughter there, and then there's also a situation where a baby has cancer and is still in NICU. And so we want to pray for them as well. Those are two separate instances. And, you know, Alex, just before the show, I had written down a couple of things that we use a lot during these prayer times. And when we have something like suicide that comes up, we often remind people that before it's too late, reach out and call someone for help, be it a friend, be it a pastor, be it a neighbor, be it anyone that you trust enough to reach out during that time, call. Because I'm not saying suicide is unforgivable. I want to be very clear about that. I am saying it's a permanent solution to temporary problems, no matter how bad those problems are. And the National Suicide Hotline is 988. That's it. Those three digits, 988. And you'll be able to talk to someone that can help you with that, and help you during that time. The other place that we often send folks to is needhim.org. That's needhim.org. Maybe you need to know the Lord. Maybe you want a closer relationship with the Lord. Well, you need him. You need to know about Jesus. And these folks can help you do that. So I offer those two references for you if you would use those, if you have need of those, to let you know they're there. You can always email us at word@afr.net, word@afr.net, prayer@afr.net. And we'll take your prayer request all the time, not just at special times on the air. But those are always out there. And we do, we have a group of people that have promised they're going to pray for these folks when they call in. And so we want to be sure that people know that we love them more than just at Share-a-thon, that we love them more than just special call-in programs or special broadcasts. We love folks 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and that includes those that are hard to love like me. And I say that with all sincerity because sometimes I can be just a crotchety old guy, you know. And
Now, I've known you 15 years plus. I don't know who you're talking about,
well,
Jim.
You're very kind, friend, I tell you.
God bless you.
Well, let's go ahead.
Hey, I got to tell you all this, then we're going to go to calls. This upcoming weekend is many churches will celebrate what they call the first Sunday of Advent, because we're talking about the Advent, the arrival, the coming of Jesus. And Jim, it was back in the 400s, so 1600 years ago, that Christians would really ramp up to Christmas and they would celebrate Advent. And there are four pillars. I'll listen carefully. There's joy. There's love, there's peace, but the first pillar that we think about is hope. And in the coming of Jesus, in the victory of Christ on Calvary's cross, there is hope. So you were talking about, you know, those that, I mean, suicide is so tragic, folks. Please don't ever do that and call out and get help. But Jesus is real. Jesus is risen. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. There is always hope when your hope is in Christ Jesus, who loves you so. We can't say that often enough, can we?
Amen. Well, let's talk to Thomas calling from Oklahoma. Thomas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The question is, during the Great Commission, if I meet somebody, let's make it simple. I say, read chapter 3 of John. And if you believe that 100% and you're sincere, that will provide salvation or justification, and that you can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if they read only chapter 3 of John and they believed it, could that provide justification and salvation?
Amen. Well, yeah. You know, verse 15, Jesus says regarding himself, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then it goes on, of course, the very famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say, of course, John 3, absolutely, if somebody takes it to heart and puts their faith in Jesus, because it references the fact that Christ would die on the cross, just as Moses, verse 4, which is a reference to Numbers 21, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man would be lifted up on the cross. You know, it's always helpful to have someone kind of explain the gospel, but I believe reading John 3 and the Spirit of the Lord moving on somebody's heart, absolutely, there's enough gospel in there that they could be saved.
Yes, sir. And I agree with that 100%. You know, for folks that are newly saved and they ask what books of the Bible they should read first, John, the complete book of John, is one of those that I recommend, because there is so much faith and teaching in that gospel. And just like you said, Alex, just the third chapter there it provides certainly the opportunity of salvation, but it continues to be upon the person who's reading it as to whether they accept it or not. Thomas, that's great. We appreciate your call this afternoon. You have a blessed Thanksgiving. We're going to talk to Corey now, calling from Ohio. Corey, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a praise and a prayer request. My father-in-law has had stage 4 lung cancer for a year now. His last scan, actually the cancer had regressed.
Amen.
And his doctor had no reason for it. And so the only explanation, you know, is our prayers. So in the Lord intervening. So I believe in my heart the reason is, you know, he's just not done with him. So, you know, our prayer request is that he would know the Lord, and we pray for his salvation. So that's our prayer, that he would know Jesus. You know, this may be our last Thanksgiving and Christmas with him. So we pray that he does know the Lord before he passes.
Amen. All right, Corey, thank you so much. I've started, and I'm sure Alex has too, started a list of the prayer requests this afternoon. And here in a little while, we're going to pray for these folks, and we'll be sure that your father-in-law is part of that. So thank you for the testimony, and thank you for the request that he come to know Christ. Those are key points. Well, let's talk to Nancy now, calling from North Carolina. Nancy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
And we'll be sure that your father-in-law.
All right, folks, when you're calling in, do us a favor. Turn your radio all the way down, and that way when we get you on the air, you can talk to us, and you'll be talking to us directly instead of the delay that we have. So let's try Henry now, calling from New Mexico. Henry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how are you doing today? Really enjoy your program, you know, very informative. I really appreciate you guys, you know, and AFR, the way, well, everything that they do. But I just had a question, you know, because I've just been noticing like a phenomenon going around the churches. It's not like one denomination or anything like that, but it's like when they call the pastor, and the wife is also included in that pastoral realm. They go, we are the pastors of this church. And the reason I find it troubling is because of, I don't know if that's biblically correct, but also it could possibly cause a divide in the church where maybe the women go towards more to the wife and the men go more to the husband, you know. So I don't know if I'm thinking on that correctly or what the correct thinking on that would be.
Well, let me say, and hey, I'll be the first to tell you how much I appreciate the spouses of pastors. My goodness, how the greatest asset any minister could have is a good Christian supportive wife. But let me say that the wife does not automatically become the co-pastor. You know, for example, you know, Titus 1 verse 6 talks about a pastor being, quote, the husband of one wife. And, you know, there are many other such verses. So, you know, I realize in some churches they'll talk about the pastor and the first lady. But should the wife be involved? Should the wife, and the wife might even hold a staff position in some way, but just because a woman is married to a senior pastor, that does not automatically make her too a pastor. Jim, you feel free to agree or disagree.
Well, that's one of those things, and you're right. It doesn't automatically make her a pastor. Now, other denominations, they look at that differently, and I'll use the Salvation Army as an example for one, because both of those folks are ordained ministers, and they're that way on purpose, because most of the time when they go into a community, it's just the two of them. You know, like here in Tupelo, there's only one Salvation Army that has church. And so both of them are there. It's not like they can go to, and let me back up. There are minister fellowships that they can go to and be part of that. But they are two ministers that, and it's because of the way the denomination looks at that. Mm-hmm. And so there are others, though. You're right. Just because the husband's a pastor doesn't make the wife a pastor. And unfortunately, sometimes that becomes an unevenly yoked couple because mm-hmm. not only do they not want to be a pastor, they don't want to be a pastor's wife. And yeah. so we have to be careful about that. So, Henry, great call. Thank you for participating in that. Folks, I know some of you are listening to Facebook, listening at Facebook, watching us on Facebook. And so we're going to continue to take a prayer request. And Brandon there has a request for us. And so we're going to take that as we're writing that down. And Brandon, we appreciate you listening on the AFR app. And we will be praying for you, brother. I just wanted you to know that we did see that, and we see some of the other folks on there too, and we'll be bringing those back up. Well, let's talk to Nancy now, calling from North Carolina. Nancy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I may sound a little disconnected, but I have two grandchildren, one who is 30, that when he was 13, he accepted Jesus, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, went home to an unchurched home, and so therefore is not walking with Christ right now. I have a granddaughter that I led to the Lord about 2 months ago, but she has kind of ghosted me. And recently I heard somebody say once saved, always saved is not a good thing to say. What's your take on that?
That's a great question right there, Nancy, even a little bit of a loaded question. So we're going to go to our smartest man I know for sure, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Well, we've got a break.
We do.
Praise God. A break. This will give me 2 minutes to study.
Right. We'll give you time to study up on that one, brother. Folks, this is Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. Our phone lines are just about full right now, but we'll give you the number, 888-589-8840.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
A place to hide this weary soul.
Good afternoon and welcome back to this Prayer, Praise, and Thanksgiving Day edition of Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper, and with me is my good friend Dr. Alex McFarland. Now, Alex, just before the break, we had a listener call, very concerned, and had a question for us. And so I want to make sure that we don't miss anything here in that. And so what about it? Once saved, always saved. Is that a good way to talk?
Well, you know, we also use the term eternal security. Mm-hmm. And I do believe this. Now, let me say this. This is under the topic of salvation. And we all agree, all of Christendom agrees, salvation is by faith in Jesus who paid our sin debt on the cross.
Amen.
Now, the technical word is soteriology. So this is a soteriological question. And there are equally good, godly people that don't agree. There are good, godly people that think you potentially could lose your salvation. And that's really based on Hebrews 6, that those that were once enlightened, they've tasted the gift of salvation, but they fall away. They can't be renewed to repentance. And people say, well, maybe that's folks that really weren't really born again in the first place. And then there's others that say, no, you can't lose your salvation. Jim, I've preached in churches that do affirm eternal security. Mm-hmm. I've preached in churches that don't. So I would first of all, let me say, this is not an issue that I would burn any bridges over. Christ the Lord paid our debt on Calvary's cross. On that, we all agree.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, and I think there are a lot of verses, like Jude verse 24, him who was able to keep us under the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30, we're sealed, John 10:28, nothing can pluck us out of his hand, Philippians 1:6. I think there are a lot of scriptures that do affirm that we are secure in Christ. However, let me just say this. While the Bible is clear enough to give us reassurance, I also think it's vague enough to keep us on our toes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if somebody were to apostatize and vehemently deny Jesus and really repudiate the gospel they once claimed to affirm, I would question whether they really had a born-again experience with Jesus in the first place. Because everybody that has a personal relationship with the Lord, I think will attest Jesus is sweeter as the days go by. I mean, why would you turn away from the greatest love in your life ever, which is the love of the dear Savior Jesus?
Amen. You know, that is something that you and I have talked about, Bert and I have talked about, once saved, always saved, versus the ability to lose salvation or give one's salvation back. You know, and so the fantastic part about that is that it goes back to only God can judge the heart, mm-hmm. you know, and so there's going to come a time when there's going to be the separation of the wheat and the tares. We see that in Scripture, and we know that's coming. I liken it to a sifting, if you will, you know. And Alex, you're a country boy. You know about how these things are.
Oh, yes.
I can remember my grandmother sifting flour, making sure there were no impurities in there, or sifting cornmeal and making sure there were no impurities in there. And what she would do is she would sift it a couple of times to make sure. She had a larger grid sifter, if you will, and then into a finer gridded one. And mm-hmm. so it's one of those things that I think for us, as we walk through our life with Christ, perhaps we want to sift out our life from time to time, too, to make mm-hmm. sure we're where we need to be. Because it's not up to us. It's up to where we are in Christ. But that means we should be doing the things he calls us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith.
Amen. Let's talk to Doug from Kentucky. Doug, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, just wanted to not only give thanks in the holiday season, but every day as well for a Heavenly Father that has blessed us with the ultimate sacrifice and loving us despite our shortcomings. I want to give thanks to Him for that. And I just recently celebrated my anniversary, and I want to give thanks to my beautiful family that he has placed in my life that have been the ultimate blessings. We have a dear friend that just passed recently, and I was just wanting to let everyone know how the Lord has been working in our small community. This lady really touched the hearts of many, many people in our community, and there were close to 1,200 Gideon Bibles that were donated in her name, so that many more people could be affected by the Lord as well. But I just wanted to give thanks for that. Give thanks to you all for your daily messages and the inspiration that you give us all each and every day. And just pray and hope that the Lord blesses you all through the holidays as well as every day, and that you all continue your godly work, and I just want to thank you all for that.
God bless you. What a kind sentiment, and we thank you for that call, and we just give God all the glory.
Amen. Let's talk to Byron from Virginia. Byron, welcome to Exploring the Word.
How you do? I too thank y'all for your ministry and the kindness and compassion that comes through. And I also like to say I'm thankful for Operation Christmas Child.
Mm-hmm.
My wife started when my daughter was young, teaching her about that, and better to give than receive, and prayer. And then a few years, I started volunteering. They have many roles. And you know, as life challenges come along, the folks within their local group just find this kind of prayer warriors you'd ever want to meet. And, you know, certainly it as Dr. Stanley said, you can't outgive God. And I'm just thankful for all the blessings I've received from Operation Christmas Child.
Amen. Byron, we appreciate that. Alex, you may not be aware, but I don't want to speak for you here. One of the ways you can be involved locally is to see if you are where a distribution center is. And if you are, you can volunteer there during mostly year-round, I think. And they are there, and every one of the shoeboxes that come in, and folks, listen to what I'm saying now. Out of the million or so shoeboxes that come in every year, every one of them is touched. And I don't mean, hopefully they're touched by the Lord, but they are physically handled to make sure that none of the, like, chocolate candy or any of the things that aren't supposed to be in there are in there by accident, because we all have different thoughts about toys. And then it's also, they have the shoebox repair center, shoebox hospital. And that's in case one's gotten mashed or, you know, it started to fall apart. Those are repackaged and they're sent on. And so those are really neat ways that you can help OCC. And you might also can be the sponsor for a collection center next year. Wow. So just want to throw that out there for
and I think, Jim, I think every single one of those boxes is prayed over.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. They are, and are powerful. By the truckload. Well, let's talk to Tanya from Arkansas. Tanya, welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Tanya. Tanya is not with us. Sorry, Tanya. Going to talk to Rob calling from Arkansas. Rob, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Alex and Jim, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I want a prayer request, but I wanted to give Alex an update. Alex, do you remember about a month ago, I have a daughter by the name of Sariana who had a severe kidney stone. Do you remember that?
I do. You called in, and Bert and I prayed for you, I believe. Prayed for her.
Yes,
rather.
So I wanted to give an update on that. She is on full recovery. They got all of it out, and she is doing wonderful.
Glory to God.
But here's my prayer request. I'm only going to give the mother's name. Her name is Jamie. Jamie had a serious accident on Sunday. She lost her 7-month-old daughter in the accident. And she is, I don't know the condition of the other daughter right now, but they had just disconnected the ventilator today, and she's only 6 years old.
Mm. I'm so sorry.
And so I pray for Jamie and her husband, because this has got to be a difficult time to not be with their children during Thanksgiving, not only that, but also Christmas. And it's just going to be a hard thing for them. And I just want you guys to pray over that family to know that God is going to be with them at every corner of this journey.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm so sorry for this. But, yes, we have a God who does all things well. And even out of what is tragedy, we turn it over to the Lord, and he brings comfort. And then he ultimately, down the road, it's painful, but God brings good out of tragedy, doesn't he, Jim?
Yes, sir, he does. He uses it and brings people back to him. Maybe during this time they'll grow closer to the Lord because of their need for each other, but mainly their need for him. And so, yes, sir, Rob, we will be praying for those folks. Well, let's talk to Phyllis calling from Arkansas. Phyllis, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I had a praise and a Thanksgiving. My husband passed away 3 days after Christmas last year, and so I have gotten through the first year of birthdays, anniversaries, and coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the Lord has been faithful. Now, it hasn't been easy. You know, it's been a lot of lonesome, a lot of down times and stuff, but God is so faithful. And so many times I've opened my Bible to the very thing that I needed at that time. So I'm keeping a journal of that. And I just want to encourage people. Yeah, you've lost people. It hurts. It stinks. It's not good. It's not pleasant. But God is so faithful to give you what you need when I'm lonesome. He surrounds me. When I've got family, I've got church family. So much to be thankful for. The benefits that I have, I've never missed a meal. I've never missed a payment on anything. I'm really astounded. I'm sitting here looking back and thinking, how did I do that?
Yeah.
God is faithful. And our condolences, but glory to God about you walking through this year with Jesus, holding you up. And to everybody, you know, Jim, I love the holidays. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, there's an empty chair at the table this year. And folks, we would just encourage you to lean into Jesus. The Bible promises that he is very near unto them that are of a broken heart. And he ministers to those who are crushed in spirit. And listen, bereavement, we've all been there. And maybe you think for a moment, you think, I can't face another day. In Jesus, you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as long as we're in the land of the living, and Jim, the longer I live, every day is a gift to know Christ and to make him known. And I'm sure she's doing that. But our prayers are with you and all who were maybe first Thanksgiving without a loved one. Mm-hmm. Lean on Jesus. He will carry you through this.
Hey, Phyllis, if you would do me a favor and email me your information to jimstanley@afr.net or word@afr.net, either one of those. If you would send me that information, I want to put you in touch with a ministry that I trust. This is what she does, is she's lost her husband. And from that, she's built a ministry to widows. And so you sound like you would be a key ingredient for her. So I want to put you two together, if you don't mind. That's jimstanley@afr.net. Well, Alex, before we have one more call, but I don't think we can get it in and do the prayer as well. But I would like you to pray over these things that have come in today, if you would.
Amen. Let me ask, if I start, will you close?
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to praise your name. Thank you that you love us. Lord, you've given us life. And Lord, we don't always understand what comes our way. But Lord, the Bible says we see Jesus. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of these calls, the father-in-law, that they want this father-in-law to get saved. And for the children and adults recovering from a terrible wreck. And for the illnesses and the bereavements, and Lord, the questions about loved ones who have kind of drifted away from you. Lord, all of these requests and more, we claim Matthew 6:8 that says, you know what we need even before we ask. So Lord, for all of these petitions and more, we bring them to you. But most of all, at this Thanksgiving, like it says in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we give ourselves afresh and anew. We give ourselves to you this day in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we are thankful because of what you've done for us as a country. We are thankful for what you've done for us as individuals. But mostly we are glad for what you have provided for us through the death and resurrection of your Son, and that we would come to know him. And through knowing him, we come to know life, and know not only life abundantly, but life everlasting. Father, there have been some genuine needs that have been shared with us today. And so for those that have families that have empty chairs, regardless of the reason, minister to them by your Spirit.
Yes.
May your Spirit of peace reign in their households. May your Spirit of peace reign in their lives. And may you use these as opportunities to bring them closer to you, that they too may cry, Abba, Father, and be met at the point of their need. Because you can do that. Because as Alex said, you do all things well. And we are truly grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Alex, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, my brother.
You too, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Lord, we thank God for each and every one of you. Please tell somebody about AFR, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.